A sufficient interval having elapsed for the performers to resume their ordinary costume, they re-entered the dining room. Mr. Rochester led in Miss Ingram. She was complimenting him on his acting.
"Do you know," said she, "that of the three characters, I liked you in the last best? Oh, had you but lived a few years earlier, what a gallant gentleman highwayman you would have made!"
"Is all the soot washed from my face?" he asked, turning it towards her.
"Alas, yes, the more's the pity. Nothing could be more becoming to your complexion than that ruffian's rouge."
"You would like a hero of the road, then?"
"An English hero of the road would be the next best thing to an Italian bandit, and that could only be surpassed by a Levantine pirate."
"Well, whatever I am, remember you are my wife. We were married an hour since in the presence of all these witnesses." She giggled, and her colour rose.
"Now, Dent," continued Mr. Rochester, "it is your turn."
And as the other party withdrew, he and his band took the vacated seats. Miss Ingram placed herself at her leader's right hand. The other diviners filled the chairs on each side of him and her. I did not now watch the actors. I no longer waited with interest for the curtain to rise. My attention was absorbed by the spectators. My eyes, erewhile fixed on the arch, were now irresistibly attracted to the semicircle of chairs. What charade Colonel Dent and his party played, what word they chose, how they acquitted themselves, I no longer remember, but I still see the consultation which followed each scene. I see Mr. Rochester turn to Miss Ingram, and Miss Ingram to him. I see her incline her head towards him, till the jetty curls almost touch his shoulder and wave against his cheek. I hear their mutual whisperings, I recall their interchanged glances, and something even of the feeling roused by the spectacle returns in memory at this moment.